The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's turn now to the Word of God in Psalm 51. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Verses 16 and 17 are the verses we're going to look at this evening. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You understand, I trust, that the Word of God is speaking there of repentance. The well-known preacher, Bible commentator, Matthew Henry, said this about the necessity of repentance. He said, some people do not like to hear much of repentance, but I think it is so necessary that if I should die in the pulpit, I would desire to die preaching repentance. And if out of the pulpit, I would desire to die practicing it. That certainly reflects what the Word of God says here about repentance in Psalm 51, especially in verse 17, where the Word of God says about repentance that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and that He will not despise a broken and a contrite heart. I'm going to look at those passages, first of all, of course, by way of understanding what the Word of God says here, but then also by way of applying it and seeing Scripture's answer to the question, how can I, a sinner, come into the presence of God? And especially with a view to the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day, how can I, a sinner, sit down at the table of the Lord and sit there in the confidence that God will feed my soul unto life everlasting? So the theme for this evening is repentance, a pleasing sacrifice. And we're going to talk a little bit first about repentance, which is described in a very beautiful way here in these verses. The New Testament word for repentance emphasizes the change that takes place in our hearts when God grants repentance. The word means, the New Testament word repentance means literally to change one's mind, and describes the fact that when God by His grace gives us the gift of repentance, and it is a gift, we'll see that too this evening, when God gives us the gift of repentance, and our whole attitude towards sin changes. Instead of finding any pleasure in sin, we hate it. And even, the form uses the word abhor, we hate ourselves for sinning. That's quite a change. Instead of seeking different ways in which we can indulge our sinful natures, we do everything we possibly can to struggle against sin. So that even when we do sin, we come to God and pray for grace to start all over again and do better the next time. But the Word of God here in Psalm 51 describes repentance a bit differently. And the emphasis is all on how we feel in the presence of God when we are truly sorry for our sins. And so the passage describes repentance in terms of a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. A heart so overwhelmed with sorrow for sin that it seems that nothing can ever heal that grieving heart again. A heart, the word contrite means that a heart that's as though it's been ground to powder by the Spirit of God and will never be whole again. To understand, of course, what David is saying here, you have to remember what an unrepentant heart is like. Just as hard as flint. And nothing can get through to a heart like that. We've probably, most of us, experienced that in the case of a friend or a family member who's gone astray. Tears, pleas, don't touch a heart that's hard and unrepentant. But when God, the only one who can break a heart like that, when He with the hammer of His Word breaks our hearts, then it's different. Then instead of being stubborn and refusing to hear, we are overwhelmed with grief for our sins. And I trust that you know from your own experience what David is talking about here when he talks of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That you've experienced something of that overwhelming grief that comes from the hand of God. And that's ours when we truly see our sins. There are some things, however, that need to be emphasized about repentance and that are suggested, taught in these verses. And the first and most important is that true repentance is sorrow, but sorrow for sin as sin against God. That's why David uses that word spirit in verse 17. When Scripture talks about our spirits, then it's talking about the fact that we, among all God's earthly creatures, know God and are able to have fellowship with Him. And it's in relation to Him that repentance is true and sincere. David, that's a remarkable thing in this psalm. David says that not only by talking about a broken spirit in verse 17, but says it in so many words in verse 4. You have to remember that he sinned against Bathsheba, sinned against Uriah. He sinned against the whole nation because he sinned as king of God's people. And yet, in confessing his sins, in Psalm 51, verse 4, he says, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And that's one of the things that has to be emphasized about repentance, because it's easy to be sorry, dreadfully sorry, for the consequences of sin. When sin is found out, and when sin is punished, it's easy to feel sorry as sorry can be for all of that. But that isn't repentance. Repentance always says, against thee have I sinned. And you must make sure in examining yourselves in preparation for the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day morning that you see your sin as sin against God. Whatever your sins may be. The other thing that has to be emphasized is that true repentance is very, very specific. I think it's there more often than not where we go astray. We in our prayers make some reference to our sins and sinfulness, but never confess what David calls in verse 4, this evil. Angry words spoken without thought. Evil desires that come up in our hearts and minds. Whatever it is we've done. Sins of the tongue. Sins of the eyes. Sins committed against family members. Against other members of the church. Sin of gossip. Whatever it is. It's those specific sins that have to be confessed, as well, of course, as our depravity and sinfulness. And here in our text, David speaks of that, especially when he refers to a broken spirit and a contrite heart, as the sacrifices, in the plural, of God. Child of God, we'll talk more about that, has never finished bringing this sacrifice because every sin requires the sacrifice of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And that too is something that you must do in preparation for the Lord's Supper next week. Not just in the light of God's Word, make an attempt to see your depravity and sinfulness, but to remember and confess and be sorry for specific sins. And especially those sins to which I or you are especially prone. If you practice self-examination, make sure that you say what David says in verse 4. This evil I have done, and Lord, I am sorry. And sorry that I have sinned against thee. And then too, that goes along with what I was talking about a moment ago, that true repentance is not sorrow for the consequences of sin, but for the fact that we have offended the holiness and righteousness and justice of God Himself by our sins. We have to be sure that our repentance is from our hearts. And it will be when that heart is regenerated and renewed by the Spirit of God. That's the wonderful thing about this passage and the comfort of this passage. That a broken and a contrite heart is a regenerated heart. The only kind of heart that can be sorry for sin. But always, always for specific sins. If it's old sins that trouble my conscience, then those sins have to be acknowledged once again in God's presence. And acknowledged with grief and shame. If it's sins more recently committed that trouble us and harm our spiritual life, then those sins must be confessed and repented of. And that's the other thing, that repentance always means that you take to heart what the Word of God says and say the same thing about yourself. The example of David is such a remarkable example of that. Nathan came to him, as you remember, with that story of the rich man who stole the poor man's only lamb and used it to make dinner for his guests. David never saw himself until Nathan said, "You're the one, David." And then, of course, David acknowledged it. Yes, I am the sinner described in that parable and in all those other passages of the Word of God which speak of sin and depravity. God be merciful to me. Literally, the sinner. That's repentance. Repentance described here in these verses from Psalm 51. Now, that's talked about in the passage as a sacrifice. Broken spirit, contrite heart are described as the sacrifices of God. And that is, here in the Word of God, the most remarkable thing of all, especially because this was written in the Old Testament. You have to think of what David says, first in verse 16, "Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." You have to think of that in the context of the tabernacle and temple worship when thousands of animals were slaughtered. Until the tabernacle and later the temple must have been a stinking, reeking, blood-splattered place. And David, back in the Old Testament, says, all of that means nothing to God. All that shed blood, all those slaughtered animals are nothing at all to him. But in contrast, a broken spirit is everything to him. That is the heart of the comfort that the Word of God affords us here. God, imagine that, does not despise a broken heart, no matter how sinful that heart may have been and still is. He receives it as the only sacrifice that's acceptable to Him. And that's what that phrase means too. The sacrifices of God refers to repentance as the only sacrifice which is pleasing to Him, in contrast to all those bloody sacrifices of the Old Testament. And, again, to apply that, that's the sacrifice that you must bring next Lord's Day morning when you come to God. And you will find that He does not despise that sacrifice. But the question, of course, is why? Why is it so? Are my tears of repentance for my sins somehow or other of value? Even the children can answer that question. They're worthless in themselves. Is the grief I feel when I see my sins, see them as sin against God, and see what I've done to the glory and honor and majesty of God by my sins, is that somehow of merit in His sight? Then there isn't any child of God who has an iota of spiritual sense who thinks that a broken spirit somehow earns God's favor and blessing once again when we've sinned. So why? The answer to that question is, and I trust you'll remember that in the week ahead, that those tears, that sorrow, that brokenness of which the passage speaks, that contrition, were purchased and purchased by the blood of God's only begotten Son. And I think you know that, really. That you, I, would never shed one tear for our sins if it were not for the fact that Christ bought those tears with His blood. We would never experience the brokenness of which the text speaks unless Christ earned it for us by His suffering and death. That's part of what we mean when we say that His sacrifice is all our salvation. Not just our righteousness. Not just our hope of eternal life. Not just our deliverance from the power and dominion of sin. But even the price of our repentance and sorrow for sin. And that, of course, is why God never despises a broken and a contrite heart. He sees in that broken and contrite heart the proof of Christ's finished work and of His own love for His people that sent Christ into the world. And it is then, from that point of view, beyond belief that God would despise a broken heart. And that is the answer to the question, how can I, a sinner, come to the table of the Lord? How can I, we were at the floor, how can I, who am guilty of every one of those sins that are listed in the form, and of which the form says all these, referring to the people who commit such sins, all these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. And the conscience of the believer, the tender conscience of the believer, when he reads that, says, but then what about me? I've not only committed those sins, but I've continued in them. I've repented of them time and time again. And always I commit those sins again. And how then shall I come to the table of the Lord? The Word of God answers that when it says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Not because repentance is another work that makes us acceptable to God somehow or other, when all other works have failed, but because true heartfelt sorrow for sin as sin against God is the proof that Christ has died for me and shed His blood for me. And therefore I come in the confidence that He who shed His blood for me will receive me at that table where I have no other right but in Him to come. So when next Lord's Day morning dawns, then be sure that you've taken to heart what we read in the form. First of all, of course, that what the form says about all those sins is not designed to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. But come in the assurance that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us, no sin or infirmity for which we are sorry, can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink goes something like this in the heart and soul of a believer. Looks at himself, sees his sinfulness, wonders that such a sinner can ever appear in the presence of God, much less be seated at the table of the Lord as a member of God's family and fed there with the body and blood of Jesus himself. But he looks at himself with all of his sins and says before the face of God, "But I'm sorry, Lord, and I understand that the same body and blood displayed on that table are what made me sorry. And therefore, in all of my need for Christ, I will come, and I do come. I understand." As someone once put it, "I understand that a broken heart and a broken Savior go together." Amen. Father of mercies and God of all grace, lead us by thy Spirit in the way of true repentance in the week ahead, that we may see in ourselves the proof that we belong to a Savior who has done all things for us and purchased every blessing by his own blood. And so bring us to the Lord's table for the strengthening of our faith, for the feeding and nourishing and refreshing of our souls, and give to each of us there thy blessing. And may our children who do not yet come to the Lord's table begin also to understand these things, to see their own sinfulness and their own need for Christ, and to desire also for themselves a place at the table of the Lord. And so, in the communion and fellowship of saints, and in the communion of Christ, may we be blessed and experience the blessedness of those whose iniquities are covered, whose sins are forgiven. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.